The Circular Staircase by Mary Roberts Reinhardt, narrated by B.J. Harrison. Chapter 1. I Take a Country House. This is the story of how a middle-aged spinster lost her mind, deserted her domestic gods in the city, took a furnished house for the summer out of town, and found herself involved in one of those mysterious crimes that keep our newspaper and detective agencies happy and prosperous. For 20 years I had been perfectly comfortable. For 20 years I had had the window boxes filled in the spring, the carpets lifted, the awnings put up, and the furniture covered with brown linen. For as many summers I had said goodbye to my friends, and, after watching their perspiring hegira, had settled down to a delicious quiet in town, where the mail comes 3 times a day and the water supply does not depend on a tank on the roof. And then the madness seized me. When I look back over the months I spent at Sunnyside, I wonder that I survived at all. As it is, I show the wear and tear of my harrowing experiences. I have turned very grey. Liddy reminded me of it only yesterday, by saying that a little bluing in the rinse water would make my hair silvery instead of a yellowish white. I hate to be reminded of unpleasant things, and I snapped her off. No, I said sharply, I'm not going to use bluing at my time of life, or starch either. Liddy's nerves are gone, she says, since that awful summer. But she has enough left, goodness knows. And when she begins to go around with a lump in her throat, all I have to do is to threaten to return to Sunnyside, and she is frightened into a semblance of cheerfulness, from which you may judge that the summer there was anything but a success. The newspaper accounts have been so garbled and incomplete. One of them mentioned me but once, and then only as the tenant at the time the thing happened, that I feel it my due to tell what I know. Mr. Jameson, the detective, said himself he could never have done without me, although he gave me little enough credit in print. I shall have to go back several years, 13 to be exact, to start my story. At that time my brother died, leaving me his 2 children. Halsey was 11 then, and Gertrude was 7. All the responsibilities of maternity were thrust upon me suddenly. To perfect the profession of motherhood requires precisely as many years as the child has lived, like the man who started to carry the calf and ended by walking along with a bull on his shoulders. However, I did the best I could. When Gertrude got past the hair ribbon age, and Halsey asked for a scarf pin and put on long trousers, and a wonderful help that was to the darning, I sent them away to good schools. After that, my responsibility was chiefly postal, with 3 months every summer in which to replenish their wardrobes, look over their lists of acquaintances, and generally to take my foster motherhood out of its 9 months' retirement in camphor. I missed the summers with them, when, somewhat later, at boarding school and college, the children spent much of their vacations with friends. Gradually I found that my name signed to a check was even more welcome than when signed to a letter, though I wrote them at stated intervals. But when Halsey had finished his electrical course, and Gertrude her boarding school, and both came home to stay, things were suddenly changed. The winter Gertrude came out was nothing but a succession of sitting up late at night to bring her home from things, taking her to the dressmaker's, between naps the next day, and discouraging ineligible youths with either more money than brains or more brains than money. Also, I acquired a great many things, to say lingerie for undergarments, frocks and gowns instead of dresses, and that beardless sophomores are not college boys but college men. Halsey required less personal supervision, and as they both got their mother's fortune that winter, my responsibility became purely moral.